Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, thank you. It's all right. Thank you very much. Very kind. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Thank you. Amen. It's good to be with you this morning in chapel. It's good to be in Howes Anderson College with you this morning. I'm so blessed to be here. I want to invite you to go to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2, if you would. Thank you for that special and the good singing this morning here, the good spirit, as always. And thankful for the great spirit here at Howes Anderson College. Thank you for the faculty, the many servants, choice servants of God that serve here and giving their lives to God here in this place. And I feel blessed to be just a small part, extension of this ministry. And Pastor Wilkerson, thank you for the trust and the opportunity to get to preach the word of God. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 41. I'll begin reading there and we'll read through verse 52 and then pray and jump right into the application of this passage. The Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and his acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be at my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." This was a custom that they had done. Joseph and Mary did with Jesus. And this was his 12th birthday or year in life, and it wasn't necessary to present him. It was the Jewish custom when a young man turned 13 years of age to go before, and they had a ceremony, and he was then known as a young man, no more a child, but a young man. So it wasn't that he was required to go there, but this was a custom of Joseph and Mary to go, as many did during this time, to go to Jerusalem, and to do what everyone would do while they were there, with tons of people from everywhere. They had to come some get the marriage license, some, you know, get birth certificates per se, you know, notify whomever that they had now these many children and so on and so forth, and pay taxes or whatever, buy things for their home. And they would travel with family members and their whole township, if possible, many miles to get to this place. And as they were there, they would celebrate the Passover. And so this was just another year in doing the same old, as we say. But something happened this trip down and to the Passover that the Lord felt necessary to register this story and put it in the scriptures. There's not much said about Jesus when he's a child. As a matter of fact, this is the only passage that we can see in the Word of God when he was 12 years of age. Other than that, we only know of his birth, and we only know of him being 30 years old, starting the ministry, and the temptation of the devil, and so on and so forth. But here's a little peek into his life as a young man. And even though there's much to say about his response and how he was notifying not only his his mother and his father there, but notifying the world and scripture and that it was his time now, that he was understanding what he was supposed to do in the ministry. He understood now that he was getting ready for the ministry to serve his father. And he, for the first time, declares his ministry, his testimony to his parents, and basically acknowledges what you did and what you were supposed to do in my life, per se, what that time, that stage of life has now come to an end. I am supposed to be about my father's business now. And in that moment, crucial moment, something happens to Joseph and Mary. And they were accustomed to travel with so many people. And it was a yearly thing, so it wasn't anything new about it. But this time, they lost Jesus. They couldn't find him. And the Bible says after a day's journey, they realized it. And they didn't know anything. They literally, the Bible says, and they knew it not. You know, it's funny thing to me is that when we're wrong with God, typically we're the last ones to find out. Others that love us and know us begin to realize and notice our attitude changes, our lacks, and things we begin to do that we did not before. And it seems that that's how it is in most of our lives. That's how it is in my life. That sometimes it just takes someone that knows us and loves us to remind us and to tell us, hey, is there something wrong with you? What's going on? You don't seem normal. Something's going on in your life. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject that I've entitled this message, When We Know Something Is Wrong. When we know something is wrong. Now, Joseph and Mary, they knew something was not right. At first, they weren't aware of it. They were just walking like normal back home. They had done everything they were supposed to do. And they were going back home as normal. And let me just say this in parentheses as well. Be careful that sometimes in the ministry we can lean on the things we normally do, and we depend on what we normally do spiritually. Be careful with that. That our single most important responsibility in Christianity and in our ministries is our relationship with Jesus, not what we do, but who we are. And so Joseph and Mary were busy about just going home, doing the same old, and when they realized it not, where's Jesus? And something was, maybe it doesn't tell us why, but follow me here. Something happened in the mind of Mary, something happened in the mind of Joseph that all of a sudden, now the Bible says they knew it not. So no one notified them. No one stopped them and said, hey, where's Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? But something must have happened inside them. Follow me here. This is just, I'm going to pray here in a second, and the application will be very simple this morning. Something, as they were walking home after doing everything they were supposed to do, being responsible parents, above and beyond, taking them to this Passover when it wasn't necessarily required, but they were doing the best they could. And in the middle of doing everything they knew to do, something inside them started telling them, something is not right. Something is not right. Something is off. And something started in Mary's heart and Joseph's and started looking around and said, wait a minute, when's the last time I saw Jesus? Where is he? And the Bible says they went around telling the relatives and kinfolk, hey, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen, and I'm sure people say, well, I haven't seen him now. Maybe he's up ahead with the children playing, or maybe he's back here walking with the teenagers. Who knows what their comments were, but the point is that no one knew where he was. But something happened in Mary and Joseph's heart that started this worrying. And that's the title of the message, and that's why I shared with you, When We Know Something Is Wrong. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you. Sometimes we can be doing everything we're supposed to do, but down deep inside our heart, we know there's something wrong with us. And things aren't right. Your scripture reading has not been what it's supposed to be. Your spirit has not been what it's supposed to be. You're fighting discouragement, and that's not you. You're fighting a bad spirit in regards to serving and what you do in ministry, whether it's serving in the bus ministry or whatever else you're doing. It seems like more and more you're agitated. More and more you're losing the zeal, the desire to do more for the Lord. And you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're going through the motions. You're here in school. You do your job, your responsibilities, your homework assignments or whatever it is. And you're doing what you're supposed to do. But something down deep inside you, very small, still voice tells you, have you seen Jesus? You're trucking along in a day's journey, doing everything you're supposed to do. You're here at Howes Anderson College. You left home by faith. You left your home church. You're here by faith, came to school, and you've accepted all these new challenges in your life. You've engulfed yourself in the ministry here. You've made new friends. You're here, and maybe sometimes you find yourself so busy that you haven't realized that it's been quite a few days now that you haven't seen Jesus in your life. Father, please bless these thoughts. And Father, we need you to speak to hearts this morning, not me. I don't have enough words in my vocabulary, and I don't have enough wisdom, Lord, personally, to help these young people. And if we're here in chapel, Lord, and take time to sit and listen to your word, please visit with us. Please speak to our hearts. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that has been a while now. It's been several days, weeks, maybe months, that they haven't seen you in their lives. Please, Father, would you work in our hearts, I beg. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want you to see with me, and I find it here in verse number 43. The Bible says, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Let me just start by saying the first thing when you're at a place when you know there's something wrong with you spiritually, things are not right. The first thing you and I need to do is we need to acknowledge that we have a problem. We need to acknowledge that we have a problem. I think of the story of David. He had sinned with Bathsheba, and he tried to hide his sin and killed Uriah Hittite and did all these things and then went about his business as king, thought he had covered up his sin, and then Nathan came to him and marked his sin and told him, "You are that man." And he was challenged, and he was confronted with his sin. And until that happened is when we have Psalm 51, where David acknowledges his sin, that he had sinned against God. And we need to acknowledge our spiritual problem. Eli had to acknowledge that he had a problem in his heart. God had used him in a very powerful way as a judge, as a leader of the people of God, but he had not been responsible to with his two sons, and his two sons were a bad testimony, and they were doing evil things and sleeping with the women outside the temple, and there was just a lot of disgrace in his ministry. He had lost the favor of God. He had lost the presence of God. He could not even hear his voice anymore. Even in the story, when Samuel would come to him and say, "Here am I," and Eli didn't know who was calling him. It was a disconnection, and it wasn't until he realized that it was he the problem when he heard that the Ark of the Covenant that God had left and had been stolen by the Philistines is when he falls backward and astonished and realizes that it's the problem that he had in his life. Peter went fishing after he had rejected the people that identified him with Jesus, and he fell in that sense. And just like Jesus said he would do, he did. So he finds himself now going back in his life, going back to fishing, and he's a bad influence amongst the other disciples that follow him. And he's out fishing all night long, and he catches nothing, and he's realizing that he is wrong with God. He's
I'm sorry, running from God. And Jesus confronts him at the shoreline and deals with him and reminds him how his love is the single most important thing that he needs to focus in his ministry, his love towards God. And he tries to bring him into, and he does win his heart over, and Peter gets back in the will of God and how God uses him. But it wasn't these, a lot of examples. Samson, how he fell into sin and he was ashamed to God's name and to the people of God and everything that happened in Samson, but it was in the moment when he had no eyes and he was just but a toy, an entertainment to the evil, to the enemies, that he realizes that he has one more opportunity, that it was him all along, his pride and his sin, and he humbles himself and asks God to do it one more time, and God did the impossible through him. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that the road back to where we're supposed to be, the road back spiritually to where we're supposed to be at, it starts with you and me just simply acknowledging that there's a problem in my life, that acknowledging that I am the problem. It's not my parents. It's not others. It's not a leader. It's not a pastor that's failed me. It's not the how no one's giving me a hand or people have been a stumbling block to me or people are talking bad about me. You know, there's many of Christians that we excuse ourselves spiritually, blaming others and blaming everyone else instead of just simply acknowledging that I am the problem. It's me, the bad spirit. It's me that I stopped reading the Bible. I've stopped praying. I have stopped concerning myself about my Father's business. There's something wrong with me, and you need to acknowledge it if you're to solve this problem in your life. It wasn't until Joseph and Mary acknowledged and said, we have a problem in our hands. I remember as a young man, as a young boy, I was maybe 8, 9 years old. I remember this time we went to the store. I don't remember what store it was, but I remember I went with my mother and my two sisters, and we went shopping that day. And my mother told me, you know, we're gonna go shopping. I was with my mother. My sisters went off, and my mother said, just stay right here where the toys are, toy department. Don't go anywhere. And I'm gonna be just right around the corner. And so I was in the toy department, and after a while, I'm not sure how long it passed. I got up and I just started worrying. I didn't see my mom. I couldn't see her. And so I got up and I started wandering around trying to find her, and I couldn't see her. And I was panicking. You know, I was starting to worry, and I felt just very alone, very scared at that moment. And so I started running through the aisles trying to find my mom, and I couldn't see her anywhere. And all these thoughts started coming to my mind, you know, maybe they left me. Maybe they forgot me. Maybe it's true what my sisters say, that one day they were going to leave me somewhere. And, you know, and all these thoughts came to my mind. And I was thinking, you know, this is a bad situation, you know. And I ran outside to see if I can maybe find them before they left. And I couldn't see the car. Obviously, I was just a child. I didn't remember where they parked the car. And just that moment, a security officer grabbed hold of me and said, son, are you lost? And it's what I could make out. I didn't know much English at the time, but I understood he was asking me if I was lost. And I said, yes. And they took me back into the security room, and I was crying at this time. I'm crying, weeping. I'm thinking that they left me, you know, my sisters. I mean, all these thoughts are going in my mind, you know. And then it seemed like 2 hours had passed, but I'm sure it was not more than 2 minutes, maybe. When all of a sudden, one security officer says, oh, we found your mother. She's coming up. And I can see her coming up the stairs because it was a security office up on the second floor. And she's coming up the stairs, and I see my mom, very beautiful woman, my mother. And I saw her. I'm just happy to see her. And I start crying, like, with excitement. And she comes in the door, and she sees me. And she's trying to make out whatever bit of English she's grabbing hold of to let them know that this is me, you know, her. She's my mother, and they realize that I'm running to her. So I hug her, and she hugs me, and I said, Mom, I thought you left me. I'm so glad you didn't leave me. And she just kind of whispered in my ear. She goes, oh, son, she goes, just wait till we get home. And I said, don't take me home. Keep me here, you know. I don't want to go home. But I remember the feeling, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that feeling. It's been many years now, but I still remember the emotion the sensation, the feeling that I had inside me that I was lost. Have you ever been there where you just feel lost, far from God? Like, this is not even you anymore. Like, what's wrong with me? I'm doing things I never dreamed I would do. I'm acting out sin in sinful ways that I never thought I would do. I'm hanging around with people that I never would imagine me hanging around with. My lifestyle, my music has changed. What's wrong with me? Joseph and Mary had to acknowledge their problem. The second thing, I find it in verse number 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, notice, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Notice how, even after they realize there's something wrong, they're walking still another day's journey, thinking, supposing that he was among the kinsmen. Let me just say, when there's something wrong with us, number one, we have to acknowledge that we have a problem. Number two, we must stop depending on others. So many of us are so accustomed to depending on others, so easy to hide among so many young people that are serving God, among so many that sing and serve and preach and lead. It's so easy to hide behind such a large ministry that we see people get saved and people added to the church and things happening, and even that we have no connection to, but something's happening. It's so easy to hide amongst all that and think that everything's okay. You know, there's many young people that depend on the spirituality of their parents, on moms, mom praying for me, my dad serving the Lord, I'll be okay. And we get to places in our life where we regret because we have always just learned to depend on others. And let me just remind us that Christianity is a personal relationship with God. It is our responsibility. It is my responsibility, your responsibility to make sure you're walking with God. Make sure you spend time with him. Make sure that this whole thing about Christianity is real to you, that it's not by borrowed conviction. Is you're not living a life based on what your mom and dad desire for you or want for you, but you actually have a relationship, a desire to serve the Lord and please him. And these folks were depending on their kinsmen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that we are supposed to put our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. You remember Peter when he was backslidden and went to look for him. Jesus went to look for him to call him back into the fold and to use his life. It was Peter that even after God had confronted him and told him, Peter, you're the problem. You're not loving me the way you're supposed to love me. Lovest thou me, Peter? Lovest thou me, Peter? And three times he confronts him. As Peter had denied him three times, he's wanting to emphasize, Peter, you have a problem. And Peter acknowledges and says, Lord, you know everything, Lord. It hit him that it was him, the problem. And listen, the next thing that happened immediately, the Bible says that John, the one that had rested upon his bosom, was there. And Peter says, and what about him? And Jesus said, what about him? You know, there's too many of us worried about what about him. There's too many of us focused on what about them. You know, that was Martha's problem. That she was busy serving and doing everything in the house, and Mary had chosen the better part. She was at his feet, and Martha was looking at Mary instead of looking at Jesus, and she started complaining, I'm the only one that really visits on the bus route. I'm the only one that really brings people I'm the only one giving money for the promotions. I'm the only one here doing the right thing, and it seems like nobody else is helping us. No one else wants to serve the Lord. No one else wants to pay the price. No one else wants to help me, and that is exactly where most of us find ourselves complaining when we depend on others. No. It's my responsibility. If ever I fail my wife, it was my fault. If ever I am disloyal to her, unfaithful to her, it was my fault. If ever I hurt the cause of Christ in the ministry, it was me. If you fall in sin, if you lose your testimony if your testimony is not what it's supposed to be, if you've had to been reprimanded and embarrassed because of your actions. It's no one else's fault but yourselves. You see, at one point or another, you began to depend on others instead of depending on God, instead of learning to walk with God and it's understanding it's your responsibility. It wasn't the kingsman, it wasn't the family member's responsibility to take care of Jesus. It wasn't the other friends to take care of Jesus. It wasn't anybody else's responsibility but Joseph and Mary. And they the Bible tells us here that they depended on others, but others didn't care. They're just saying, minding my own business. I'm taking care of my own kids. I don't have time to take care of yours. And that's how most of us get into problems spiritually, when we depend on others spiritually. Listen, young folks, don't put your eyes on man. Man will always fail you. Spiritual leaders will always fail you. That's just a true and sad statement. And there's better Christians than you and I that are discouraged today, out of the will of God, not serving the Lord because someone failed them. There are young people that are out of the will of God. Matter of fact, they've rejected church in its whole. They've rejected their faith. They've said now that they don't believe how they used to. They're out of the will of God because someone failed them. Put your eyes on Jesus. Get him back on him. Get your eyes off of people. Stop depending on your parents' spirituality. You begin to pray. You begin to walk with God. Make their God your God. Have your own convictions in God. Become a real Christian. You know, when you're going to the valley of despair, when you're going through trials and difficulties, no one else is going to be there really to help you. You're going to have to learn how to walk with God in the very difficult moments of life. You're going to have to learn how to grab a hold of God and say, Lord, I'm here by myself and I can call. I can make that call. I can go. But Lord, I want to see you work in my life. I want to see you provide for me. Lord, I believe that you answer prayer. And Lord, I'm going to continue to insist that you help me, Lord, because I have nowhere else to go but you, Lord. Please. And when you begin to walk with God and make him your own God, you'll see how God will reveal himself to you. The third thing quickly, in verse 46, the Bible says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. I want to submit to you this third thing, what to do when we know that something is wrong. Number three, we must be willing to do whatever it takes. Number three, we must be willing to do whatever it takes. You see, they desperately searched him for 3 days. Could you imagine those 3 days, what it must have been like? I'm sure Mary didn't sleep. I'm sure they probably didn't even eat. They couldn't. I can't picture Joseph and Mary sitting aside on the side just wanting to just, oh, you know what, all right, let's just eat. Let's just enjoy this cultural food that everybody's brought from everywhere, and let's just enjoy these tacos at Pastor, you know, because we're here. No, they weren't worried about eating. They were 3 days looking for him. They were desperate. They were scared. I'm sure Mary was thinking, you know, come on, you get this is the Son of God. But they did whatever it took. I think in 2 Samuel 24, when David had failed the Lord and he had taken a census of the people and it angered the Lord. And we know the story how an angel, God came and slew thousands of people. And it wasn't until David acknowledged his sin and repented that God ceased the killing, and then we find David going before the Lord and presenting a sacrifice. And he says something here in 1 Samuel 24, 2 Samuel 24, 24. He says something that really, really should be our spirit and attitude with regards to getting right with God. Verse 24, chapter 24, David said this. And the king said unto, Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God, of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen 50 shekels of silver. David makes a statement. He says, I offer burnt offerings. He says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Just hear me quickly. If you're going to get right with God, if you're going to get back to where you're supposed to be, and you know there's something wrong with you, you know there's something not right spiritually inside you, and that only God can tell you. I mean, here you can fool us all. I mean, we can think you're great and everything's fine with you and everything you're doing was, but you can't fool God. And if you're going to get back to where you're supposed to be spiritually, you're going to have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Maybe that means to break off that relationship. Maybe it means for you to give up your phone. Maybe it means for you to stop hanging around with those people. Maybe it means for you to change bus routes. Maybe whatever it takes. Maybe it means for you to, instead of going to the to go hang out with the guys or with your friends, maybe go off somewhere by the lake and get up behind underneath some tree and say, Lord, I'm not getting up here until you've spoken to my heart. Maybe it's going to take you to deny yourself and going to lunch and just taking a walk around, getting somewhere by yourself and say, Lord, there's something wrong with me. I'm not right spiritually. My attitude, my spirit, I'm not reaching personal goals spiritually. I'm not winning anybody to Christ. I haven't seen anybody get baptized. Lord, there's something wrong with me, Lord. I've taught, I've done, I've served, but there's something that's not right with inside me. And I fear that it's that I'm so far away from you. I've left you behind. I've left my first love. I've departed from where I was supposed to be, Lord. And if you're there, young person, you're just going to have to do whatever it takes, however many days it takes, however many hours, whatever sacrifice must needed to be paid. Do it for the cause of your relationship with God, for God's will in your life. God wants to do something special in your life, and he's not finished with you yet. And God is a God of second opportunities. And if you just realize that God is waiting for you where you left him, God is still there and he wants you to get back right with him. Just do whatever it needs to be done and get right with God. Fourthly, we must return to where we left him. Joseph and Mary found him in the temple. Found him. And you've noticed in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, when God talks about that we have left our first love. And then the next verse, in verse number 5, immediately the Bible says there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, it says this. It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The first thing that God calls us to when we've left our first love, when we're not right spiritually with him, is to remember where we left it. Remember where we were when we were right with God. And I just want to admonish you, get back to where you're supposed to be. If it means to get back into a bus route, get back into a bus route. If it means to get back serving the Lord, go soul winning with a different partner, somebody that's going to provoke you to really win some souls, to get busy doing the things you used to do, whatever you need to do, but get back to where you first, where you last left him, where you knew you were right with God. Maybe it means to be an usher, a choir member, an orchestra member. Maybe you just need to get back on the cameras. You left your ministry. You've left that children's ministry. You've left what you used to do for God. Just get back to where you know God is waiting for you, where God wants to use you. Just start doing the things that you know you used to do for him out of love, out of passion, and get back to that place. He's still there waiting for you. He still wants to use you. That piano is still waiting for you to play it. That instrument is still there waiting for you to play it. That corner of ministry, that child's ministry, that bus route, that one street, that one family, they're still there waiting for you to get back, because God is not finished with you yet. And lastly, I close with this. We must not take one more step without him. If you notice with me in verse number 51, after they find him, Joseph and Mary, and they see him, and he's at the temple, and he tells them that he's supposed to be about their father's business. After all that happened, the Bible says in verse 51, and that Mary, the mother, kept all these sayings in her heart. Notice, and Jesus, No, I'm sorry. It says verse number 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. I could almost see this, that they finally find him. Mary's anguish is over. They finally can breathe again. I found Jesus. Okay, he's not lost. But then they take not one step from him. They don't go anywhere else. They just kind of sit there and maybe watched him finish. Maybe stayed behind and watched him answer some more questions. Whatever it must have happened. But from that moment on, the Bible says, then they went together to Nazareth. It wasn't Joseph and Mary no more saying, all right, get over it with the kids. You know, go do your thing. We'll be right behind you. No, it was now they were together. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is this. When you know there's something wrong with you, spiritually, when things aren't where they're supposed to be, don't take one step without him anymore. Decide that today you're not leaving chapel until you get things right with him. Decide that this is no more another visit to the altar. This is the visit to the altar. Decide that I'm done with this, Lord. I don't want to continue being this person that I'm not supposed to be. My parents think of me one way, and I'm doing things behind their back. My spirit has changed towards leadership. My attitude, you can see it on my in my classwork, in my friends, and my attitude towards serving. There's a lot of things wrong with me, and it's been a day's journey. It's been a while that I didn't realize that where I've gotten, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And let me tell you, if God is speaking to you that way today, and if God wanted this message to be preached because of you, whomever you are, wherever you are sitting in this chapel, don't let this be just one more message. Don't let it be another chapel message. I wouldn't leave this place until you say, Lord, I'm not taking one step. Just as Moses said when God told him, listen, I'm going to send an angel with you. I can't go with you because if I go, I might get upset and just kill everyone in these people. They're so stubborn. And Moses said, Lord, if your presence goeth not with me, then carry us not a pence. Do not take, we won't take one step out of here without your presence. And if you would just humble yourself today and get out of that facade, that fake Christianity where you're trying to impress others and the opinion of others, and just come and say, Lord, I'm done with it. I won't take one more step. I won't get up from my knees. I won't do anything else until your presence comes upon my life, until I know that I visit with you, that you're with me. Lord, I can't do this without you. I refuse to take one more step, one more day, one more week, one more semester. Lord, no more without you. God will go with you. God will be with you. And that's exactly what happened in this little simple story. You see, it wasn't anyone else that helped Joseph and Mary. They didn't go and sit down to the preaching. It wasn't a conference. It wasn't a camp. They were just about their business when they realized, what's wrong? I just sang that special, but it wasn't even a help to me. What's wrong? I've been soul winning for so many weeks, and I can't find not one person to get saved. What's wrong? I preached that message in Sunday school, and there wasn't one child that raised their hand. What's wrong? I see my friends that are new in college bringing people to get saved and getting baptized, and how long have I been here, and I haven't seen one person in the water. Lord, what's wrong with me? I used to like the teachers and have a good friendship with them. Now I don't care for them. I don't even say hi to them. I can walk by the pastor. I can walk by this leader and not even care, not even faze me. I don't care. What's wrong with me? Lord, there's something wrong with me. I can't put my finger on it, but something doesn't add up. And if you just stop where you are and start realizing that it was Jesus that you left them behind, that you can do a lot of things without him, but sooner or later, you're going to find yourself lost. And there's no worse feeling than being in God's will, but yet feeling lost and feeling alone. Listen, he is where you left him. Just come and find him. He's there wanting to restore you, wanting to give you confidence, wanting to cheer you up, wanting to give you a good spirit, wanting to help you. He wants to bless you, but he's not going to come to you. It wasn't Jesus that found Joseph and Mary. He was where they left him last. And I guarantee you that he's only just but a few steps away from you right here. This is probably where you left him last. And it's been a long time since really God has spoken your heart. And you've come and really felt God's presence in your life. You religiously come because that's what we do in chapel. But you haven't seen him in your life in many days. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Father, bless this invitation. Speak to hearts, Lord. Help us, Father, to acknowledge first and foremost that we are the problem. That it's me standing in the need of prayer. That it's me that have backslid. That it's I, Lord, that have gotten wrong with you. No one else. I can't depend on others. It's my fault. Lord, I need to get back to where I used to be. Serving you, doing your will, spending time with you, praying, reading your Bible, having joy. Lord, would you please speak to these young people's hearts? Listen, young person, I don't know where you're at spiritually today, but maybe this message here can provoke you to get back to where you're supposed to be. And that's something that is your responsibility. It's your job. No one else. No one else could get you spiritual. No one else could get you right with God. If you stay indifferent today and it wasn't for you and whatever, it's just in the chapel, that's on you. No one else. And you'll walk out of here lost as can be, just like when you walked in chapel, on the verge of destroying your life, on the verge of falling into sin, on the verge of getting backslidden, on the verge of who knows what. But Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Would you humble yourself today for the cause of Christ?
Many have already made an altar. Make an altar where you're at. Don't go another step without the Lord. Let's take a few minutes and do business with God. How's your relationship with the Lord today? What we do for Jesus is not as important as who we are in our relationship with Jesus. I love that statement he made. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let's acknowledge our sin before God today. Sing the little chorus. We can just do it a cappella. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Ready? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of his glory and grace. I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a minute. And then, of course, Pastor Wilkerson will be in chapel tomorrow. And then Friday, because of the Bible knowledge test, we won't have chapel. But I see Brother John back there. I'd like Brother John to come up and just mention about a little bit about the bus rally. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed in a few minutes here. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Thank you for your goodness to us, and I thank you for the message we heard today. I pray that we would not get 3 days away like Joseph and Mary got 3 days away from Jesus, and I pray that we would not go another step without your presence, without your spirit. Thank you for the great reminder today, and I pray that maybe later today some would take time and get alone with the Lord, walk with you, maybe go out behind the woods, maybe as they're driving to work, maybe alone in their room. I pray that
they would yield to you and walk with you, come clean with you, beg for your power, beg for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you that you use any of us, and we thank you for the reminder today. And I pray that you would, your spirit would go with each one here. Thank you for the students, many who've been here through the years who have, their hearts have been ministered to right in this room. And you're using many people all across the world who have been spoken to right in a chapel service like today. We thank you for the message we heard today. We thank you for the messenger. And thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you would dismiss us now with your blessings, put a hedge of protection on each of our students. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's express our gratitude. You know what, Brother Gomez already left here, so we don't have to clap, but Brother John has a couple.
This, of course, this Saturday is our spring bus rally, and it's our yearly event, and we do it to kick off our big spring program. You know, I wonder sometimes how many people have been saved as a result of our spring program, our fall program, and this is big. It's huge for our church, for our ministry, and so please be there. 4:30. It's going to start in the Costa Dining Hall with a meal, and then we'll meet in here right afterwards, and we'll announce the spring program, what we'll do for the 6 weeks, and then also. There will be a bus sign contest. So every bus route, I want you to bring a poster size sign for your bus route. We'll have some judging. And the top two bus routes that win the contest will have pizza on their bus on Goldfish Sunday. And so look forward to that. Don't forget, by the way, you should have received an email, and you can purchase your tickets through the email. Made it as simple as we could for that. And we'll see you on Saturday. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, one more thing. Because of the bus rally, bus meetings will be here at the college Saturday morning at 8:00. So do not go to City Baptist School. Right here, 8:00. We'll meet in the auditorium, and then we'll make our way to Chicago. Visit for a few hours, and be back here at 4:30. You're dismissed.
Classes will start at 12:15. Thank you.